Welcome to another episode of the Chicago Games and Rules Show. I believe this is 24 for us.
Wow.
Yeah, so officially like a full season or two seasons if we're on Netflix, right?
Or like 8 seasons if we're on the BBC.
That's right. So yeah, by BBC standards, we're old.
Yeah, I was going to say very old.
A quick reminder, please sub to the show. That helps us out a lot. You know, where it's on iTunes, it's on Android. And thank you to the NDC Co-op for hosting us, as usual, in this lovely podcasting space. I'll just do a quick shout-out to our, I guess, pseudo-sponsor Basecamp. Look,
we're hoping.
Yeah, I like using Basecamp.
The potential sponsor.
Yeah, it's a wonderful piece of organizational software.
Out there.
If you run a small company, if you got any sort of project going on, Basecamp is one place to keep everything organized, keep everyone on the same page, and it's free for 30 days if you want to check it out. Nice. Plus, we have a coupon code that will give you $50 off your subscription. So that's on our Facebook page. Please check it out.
That is like a sponsorship.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. As always, I'm Keon Holling. This is my co-host, Rob Blocker. Yeah. And with us today,
Kevin Fair.
Kevin Fair.
I guess I would shake your hand.
Yeah.
So just,
head of
we all should
play games.
Right. CEO and founder of iPlay Games.
Yep. And I am also currently the head of the Chicago Video Gamers Club, which is a general video game meetup interest club.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
So why don't you tell us about iPlay Games? I'm just getting my feet wet into it. Checked out your Facebook page today. A lot of cool stuff going on.
Nice, man, because I saw that one view. I saw that one.
You know it. Yeah.
No.
You can't get away from those metrics.
No. So iPlay Games really was kind of something that I created as a means of trying to like start a life or an occupation that I wanted to have.
Gotcha.
So a little background about me. I went to school and studied for... not so much computer forensic science, more so I really was just a code monkey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing development in C++, and we were at the time, I think Java was kind of hot, so I took some courses in that. And honestly, I did it because adults told me as a kid, somebody that liked being on a computer, they were like, you should go into development. Development's really great. And I mean, it is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I feel like developers are like wizards. You know, they are making all of these things possible, all these different
things. I have a game for you.
Right, I was going to say, right?
Oh, Netflix.
And funny enough, I really just like fixing computers. I really enjoy putting them back together. And I think that if I had someone at the time who could give me a really good idea of like all the stuff you could do when it kind of comes to computers,
mm-hmm.
somebody would have been like, you could go get CCNA certified, you know, become a network specialist after you learn how to do all of building the computers, because you'll get bored with that.
Right.
So I did that, and guess where that landed me? It landed me a job with one of the big four accounting firms, and I was doing like millions and millions of general ledger lines for one of them, writing code for those things to churn out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really didn't like the environment, man. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, no,
man. I mean, like, you know, I think in some ways I kind of sold myself out. They gave me a lot of money coming out of college, so that sounded great. It's like, why not?
Yeah.
But I guess what I really found myself being was unhappy. I was just really kind of unhappy no matter how much money I kept trying to throw at. You don't like your job and stuff. And so I thought of playing video games always as my hobby and outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for me, it became more of a journey of like, well, what would you do if you did what you like doing?
Right.
And people at work would always ask what my hobbies were, and I would say I play games. And it kind of just rolled on from there, where I was just kind of like, well, what can I do as far as that was going to happen once? Yeah, this has been pretty
popular guy, man.
No, it has been an interesting week. It has been an interesting week. A couple of new clients have come on board, some people I talk with. And so it kind of turned into a thing for me where I was like, I'm going to do something I'm passionate about. I threw a tournament one time.
Okay.
That kind of picked up from what I was doing in undergrad. I'd always thrown the Madden tournament on campus. I would always throw, a Marvel 2 tournament on campus. And so I say, well, you know what? I'm going to go back to throwing tournaments. That's what I like doing, and I'm going to do some more of that. And that slowly really kind of developed into me learning how to throw and promote my own events. Mm-hmm. It also taught me how to, from an organizational standpoint, learn to deal with people that, you know, are coming to your events, how to organize them as they come, how your message is perceived from all mm-hmm. of that. And it just really helped me learn what people think is fun when they play video games. So now when Chevy, you know, Chevy is somebody that I've done work for New York Comic Con and a couple of other assignments. Uh-huh. They're like, Kevin, what's fun in video games?
Oh.
And so I can tell them, you know, well, hey, here's something I think works for you guys.
Uh-huh.
And in addition to that, what I can do from my company standpoint is I can rent you the equipment. I can bring you the staffing for that, and I can help you on-site execute said idea. So it's like, last year, I think we did Rocket League. So, you know, Rocket League is pretty popular. Oh, yeah. And so the concept was...
Yeah, it's cars.
I was like, boom, you guys sell cars. You guys need a game that's popular. Here's a game that's both popular and about cars. Now, on top of that, the technical side of it was... They were like, well, how do we get like 4 or 5 people to play? Rocket League doesn't have a LAN side to it. You can't locally play it. I said, well, that's going to cost you X amount of dollars in internet in order for this to run. Well, how much internet? This is how much internet mm-hmm. you need. So when you get into the nuts and bolts of trying to understand video game entertainment and that growing industry, a lot of companies are saying, we want this, but we don't know what it takes to kind of get that. And we don't have a guy to do it. And guess what? We're usually your guys that, you know, bring all the experience, bring the organization, bring the people and the equipment. So
you're like a fun guru, but you also are the fun executor. You got it all locked up, right?
What I like to try to tell people of my elevator pitches, I play games as your turnkey solution for video uh-huh. game entertainment. So, yeah.
So is it always tournaments?
No, so I mean, like, here's what's fun, man. I mean, like, what's become like really like one of our bread and butters is anime conventions. And I mean, while those things have tournaments in them, 90% of what we do there is entertain people with games that are very easy to play, no consequences, you're not in a competition, and it's really being about good at engaging people. And I have a lot of fun doing that. I think mm-hmm. you have probably seen some of my episodes with the GUI show and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I did was I was play-by-play commentary for the GUI show.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And that was fun for me. You know, it's about the game itself, but it's about engaging the audience. It's mm-hmm. about making light and making fun of what the people are doing, you know, that are competing. And so, yeah, no, I mean, even though tournaments are definitely one of our cornerstones, playing games and having fun really is kind of like something that you think just happens organically all the time, and it doesn't. You know,
there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. You know,
sometimes we do things where it's like, I'm going to start doing it first because people don't know what they're looking at until they see me play it. And you know this from experience. How many times do you introduce the game Joust to people, but they watch first because they don't know what's going on, mm-hmm. but then you show them how easy it is and how much fun it is, mm-hmm. and then you can't stop people from playing. So.
Yeah, that's kind of like Let's Play on YouTube, right? A lot of people just want to see other people play, and then you go, okay, I can get into this.
Yeah.
So, going back to that first tournament you set up, how did you like get the idea? How did that happen? How did you make it happen, actually?
So, here's what's really kind of funny. It's interesting now that, like, one of my favorite games as a kid to play because I didn't own it, my cousin did. You know, this is when you start talking about the affinity I have for video games. We would come rushing over there to play Street Fighter II with him.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Street Fighter IV was still being developed. They were working on it. And I had had a lot of success in the past with Smash Brothers tournaments and really enjoyed that game a lot. And so my first tournament, I said, why don't I do Smash Brothers? I said, well, why don't you also take a chance at doing something different?
Like,
let's pick a new game. Let's start all over. Let's, you know, pick something that has not been done yet. And it was kind of perfect because the game itself was really exciting for people. It reintroduced the game to people that were fans of it beforehand. It introduced itself to an entirely new audience. And that was kind of like perfect for me because now I hit this crossroad of people that played Third Strike through the early to late 2000s that played mm-hmm. Marvel. And then I met these set of people that were just buying the Xbox 360 or their PlayStation 3, and they were looking for their first fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that event for me, which appropriately called Fight It Out, was this really nice cross ground of all these people that are looking to kind of get into the gaming scene. And without a develop, you know, now we've got ESL, we've got MLG, we've got all of these things that represent, you know, games in a competitive fashion. Mm-hmm. This was a way for some people to say, you know what, I think I'm pretty good at this game. I really want to kind of test that out with everybody else. It was just such a, it was a fresh, new kind of thing. And I think that really kind of worked out for me, man. I bootstrapped basically the investments for all of that.
So you had to get like a venue? Did you have like a prize and stuff?
So I bought copies of the game. I threw something like $200 in for first prize. Mm-hmm. I had the arcade stick, which now is a little hard to find, actually. I wish some of those guys would have held on to that. But I bought the Street Fighter IV arcade stick and put all of that money into the prizes. It was not something I wasn't used to as far as finding venues. I just kind of went and
found it. Do you have some practice in that?
So yeah, I had some practice in that. And funny enough, it was at an art gallery. It was one of these contemporary art galleries. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, we just kind of moved around the equipment there, put some tables up, and I think at most we might have had 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe like 6 to 10 setups or something like that. All Street Fighter IV. Uh-huh. And funny enough, now I'm so happy that there were no updates at that time. You know, if I would have had to sit down and try to update each one of those systems, but. it was a real small art gallery, but it was a beautiful March day. I still kind of remember it very fondly. And it kind of kicked off from there. A lot of the people that work with me now, mm-hmm. I met at that very event. So
very nice. Do you do like a Final Four type bracket, single elimination?
So yeah, no. We try to usually set up, especially fighting games, we always try to set up like a double elimination situation. Okay. So that means mm-hmm. you get to lose twice. And then, of course, the top 8 is always like a really special thing where we kind of turn off everything else and people are focused on the spectacle of the top 8 players playing. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So you do a lot of marketing, right? It seems like you're very good at like finding people interested, people that want to like
your streaming
see it or play it. Any tips for like our indie people here? Because that's a big thing for game developers, right? They're good at making games. But the marketing is something new to them. So we always try to provide them with like tips on how to market well.
I would say one of the key ingredients to a good event or selling anyone anything is portraying the value. Why is that? Like, it seems really boilerplate, but mm-hmm. here's why it's important. When you're creating a game, when you're throwing an event, you know the inherent value that it has. You know why that it's important. Uh-huh. Emphasizing and really kind of pulling that out to an audience that has no idea what they're supposed to enjoy about this is probably the one thing you can do without spending a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for me, do I have Facebook ads and things like that from time to time? Sure. But the thing that doesn't cost me any money is sitting down just like this and looking at my own webcam at home. Mm-hmm. And when I put out a video to talk about or promote an event, I try my very best to inherently pull out the 3 most fun things that you should enjoy when you come here.
Nice.
And I think when as it relates to games have to do this thing when you see a trailer for a game has to try to show you this thing that's going to be satisfying. And I talked about this, shouts out to Aaron J. Amendola over there at the Geek Show. Mm-hmm. I spoke on this briefly with him. I think the one that I can always go back to is Gears of War makes you not like your enemy. Gears of War makes it fun to kill your enemy. Mm-hmm. Gears of War makes it fun to kill your enemy in assassinations. And most all of their commercials are chalked up with the Lancer, you know,
saw through
somebody. And it's something that you remember. So they've made their, like, here's the one thing you're really going to enjoy about this game. Destroying your enemy. And here's how you do it. You know, mm-hmm. It's very easy for them to portray that.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when you look at indie games, the struggle that they have is that it's a project of passion. Mm-hmm. It's something that they're thinking about. And so, you know, when it's a puzzle game, sometimes it becomes more difficult to try to portray that when you got 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds. How do I portray how this is going to be super fun in a game without having, you know, the retro 90s commercial of a kid? Yeah! You know, how do we portray this is the fun part of this? Here's where the fun
Which is exactly what Strafe did. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
The kid's brains
will. Yeah. So without basically going to that extreme, which is, you know, at this point, pretty derivative, you know, you've got that challenge of trying to say, here's what's fun. And certain games, it's easier for. Mm-hmm. Other games, it's a little bit more difficult.
Gotcha. Yep. So you got your main thing where you're like throwing these events. But you also said you're doing more maybe with your channel and stuff like that now? Or?
Yeah, so actually I've started streaming on Mixer, which is a new service that kind of not only has just the ability to stream to people, it has the ability to co-stream with people. Oh, and it also has interactable buttons built into the into the web browser as well.
Wow.
So with your broadcast or whatever you might be using at home, OBS, XSplit, any one of those, there's a way to incorporate in your XSplitter, just like you do with media files, use those things as tools for your broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
You use this portion as a tool for left click. Say, for instance, you want a left click to happen on your computer. You know, the way that, I don't know if you guys remember, Twitch did a Twitch Plays Pokemon.
Right.
Yes.
And so they were allowing people to simulate button movements in that.
Yeah,
imagine something. Exactly. Something similar to that, but having that opened up to basically any functionality you want to decide on your PC.
Gotcha.
So that can go from, if you use an XSplit, you can go from changing scenes to be like, hey, what if I put a funny scene up of this? Or you can program in sounds or GIFs and videos and that kind of thing. So for every second that a person is viewing, they earn points. And then as they earn points, the streamer can designate what they want a thing to do work based on how many points. So it's a nice little bridge way.
Another level of interactivity.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
and I think that's actually pretty cool. I've worked hand in hand with Janae, Natural Hair Gamer. She's with Black Girl Gamers. I've worked pretty hand in hand with her at the Microsoft stores on some of those Mixer specific events.
Mm-hmm.
We did Overwatch a few times, and that's been pretty fun. So, yep,
very cool. So this is the Chicago Games from our show. So if you got any Chicago shout outs you want to have at this point, or anything you like about doing game stuff in Chicago, we'd love to hear that.
So best things that I really kind of love about doing gaming in Chicago. Well, it's easy to always have like bratwurst or something like that.
That's true, man. Everyone knows that.
No, I always find myself at a restaurant where it's like the food is really good. And it's kind of like that is always like one of my biggest selling points. It's like the menu here is going to be amazing. And then that's not, I don't even have to sell that. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
No work for
people
you,
are
right?
Already sold on that. And I think that really we're emerging in this way where a lot of people are beginning to meet other, you know, gamers and really kind of trying to find the value in, like, what is it that I don't know about games? And this is one of the reasons I think Bit Bash has been so successful. Bit Bash has been so
Thanks
successful.
You.
Well, I mean, like, we're all throwing something in on that. And I think that the concept of, you know, hey, come out and play something you haven't played before. And you've got all of these people with different gaming backgrounds, different gaming tastes. Ages, you've got people coming with their kids. You know, I've seen kids that are 17, 18, 19 come. And I think what it does is that one of the things that we're really kind of working on as a city and as a region is like, hey, everybody's kind of getting together and sharing their creative ideas about games. And we're finding the fun in it, period. The fighting game community will have me out for, you know, a major regional tournament, but will ask me to do fun and games because they're like, well, we still want something that mom and dad can come and play. But we want something that the 7-year-old little brother can come and play that requires no skill, but he can still come and have fun. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've
and
really
you still
kinda,
commentate it as if it's
as
like,
if it's really
like,
what I really enjoy is that it makes people feel excited about the, you know, and that is definitely a rush for me when I start to see them get excited about it and have fun with it, laugh at it, all of that. So I will throw that in on something that is not even close to being esports, but, you know, I'm trying to throw in my commentary. Funny enough, I think I kept in contact with the guys that won Shut Up and Slam Jam Karate Basketball.
Uh-huh.
And they were
and
just
this
like...
This was the game that Kevin ran
at Bit Bash. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they were just like, this was like the closest I'll get to esports, but this was so much fun. I had so much fun being in the tournament. And that's just really cool for me. That's a lot of fun to kind of go in and take something that you probably would feel bad about losing at and be like, but you know what? I had fun playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I had fun being a part of that experience. Because for most people,
winning is definitely cherry on top. You know, it's like, dude, I got to play in this tournament and have fun. But if they felt like they accomplished something along the way, then mm-hmm. they're like, well, I mean, I can't be upset.
Yeah, good time,
I did
right?
something, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, nah, I definitely would say that's probably one of the things I like the most about Chicago video gaming.
Very nice.
And the second part of the name of our podcast, the Gametrepreneur part, we try and talk a little bit about money, even though it's kind of an awkward subject in our culture. Yeah. So, like, when you were bootstrapping that first event, did you charge people to come in? Did you buy all that equipment? Was it from, like,
so
your accounting?
Bought all of my equipment for my first accounting job. I saved up for some months at a time, which wasn't bad because the one positive thing about the job I hated was that it made money.
Yeah, it made money.
And so, no, yeah, I rented the venue in full. Mm. Boom, here it's paid for. Went and bought out the equipment. Boom, that was paid for. And then I think at the time, it was something that was a little bit more acceptable as far as charging people venue fees. Now when you really kind of look at it, you can walk into Emporium for free. You know, so it's a little hard now mm-hmm. to convince people that they're getting something completely separate. You know, it's like, hey, mm-hmm. we're doing a video game special event, and they're going to say, well, how much is it at the door, and how much do I need to enjoy or entertain myself past that? And you've really got to put a lot behind to say, you know, your admission is going to get you this much entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So, yeah, at the time, I think a lot of us really kind of understood that, well, people don't even like video games. So these venues that you're going to aren't going to be like, well, I think a video game event would be great. They were just like, it's $500, you know, and that's for the afternoon. So, yeah, I actually I know that I made my investment back on the first event. I don't think I lost in that investment because if I'm thinking about it correctly, for the Street Fighter IV tournament, I know we had maybe like 40 people. At $5 a piece, and then they all bought candy, drinks, juice, that type
awesome.
Of thing. And so I know I didn't come up short on the venue.
So you've been in the black since day one.
Since day one, yeah. And I think part of it really kind of just kind of came from going to, you know, a lot of these events and doing the best I could to really kind of promote. And then having that promotion be authentic to those mm-hmm. people.
So you had a feel for it, right? You've been doing this for a while
for
in college. And yeah.
Yep. And so it's one of those types of things where I think that, you know, people that play games know when they're being tricked, when someone is just trying to make a quick buck.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was great for me because I was passionate about it. I wasn't just jumping into this for the money for a change. I wasn't just doing something because it would make me money. I did something because I wanted the quality to be good. I wanted those people to feel like they were wanted in that space. And I think all of that really, to my good fortune, kind of came together. It was pretty easy to see that I was a guy and that I was doing this and that it was because I wanted it to get done. And I think I spent some money to kind of like print out flyers and stuff like that, but that was a negligible cost. That was nothing, you know,
mm-hmm.
in comparison. So,
and in terms of your, like, today, your revenue breakdown, is it like mostly like corporate events, like the Chevy gig, or like private events, bar mitzvahs?
Because guess what? It could kind of go back and forth on that because I will get, you know, requests for private events and stuff like that. But I would definitely say I've probably found a pretty good niche in corporate events. Chevy comes and asks for me to come out and, you know, I can go ahead and make, you know, what would take care of me personally for maybe a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And that works out really nicely because I've always done the voiceover. And so they kind of consider that like, well, you know, this is icing on the cake. Here's the guy that can run it for us, bring us the equipment, and then we can get content from it as well. You know, like he's actually generating
right, yeah,
interest
yeah.
towards this. You know, so you kind of remember Shut Up and Slam.
Yeah, of course.
And so you see people kind of like gathering around to watch that. You know, but you imagine I'm in New York City. And I've got a microphone and I'm talking about Rocket League and all these parents and stuff like that were watching. I remember people laughing and that just makes me feel good. You know what I mean? Because I know they don't know jack about Rocket League. They're looking at it and they're like, and I'm like, hey, it's a little more simple than what you think. Imagine if your RC cars play soccer. And then they go, okay, I think I can wrap my mind around that. Mm-hmm. And then I start to really kind of just have fun with it from there. You know, talking about it like it's actual football, you know, or soccer rather. Talking about it like it's soccer. And so it just kind of pulls the people in, man. It's like the one movie said, gets the people going, you know. And so I have a lot of fun with that. But I would definitely say, to answer your question specifically, corporate events have become something that definitely come along. And I think that, again, it's just, it was really great timing that I started to want to develop these talents and skills on my free will. And then esports blows up X amount of years mm-hmm. later. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for people with the expertise, looking for people with the passion, looking for the people that don't mind being on camera or having their voice, you know, out on it. You know, I'm not shy about that. So, yeah, I mean, that just happens to work out for me in my favor.
Yeah, I think that's a great partnership because, you know, these big brands, they can't sell the authenticness, right? Because they're a brand. They don't know anything about it.
I had a funny story about that. A couple years back, I did PAX with the Courtyard Marriott. The Courtyard Marriott was my client at the time.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And so here's where the trifecta comes into play. They're at PAX, and they've got a booth. They've hired, like, some actors, you know, to kind of come and do some guest appearances at their booth. Mm-hmm. And so they have some video games, and at the time, I'm not going to talk about the specific video game they had because it wasn't anything that was wrong with that game, but it wasn't a good fit for that event. And actually, I'll go ahead and name it. It was the Rare Collection. Mm-hmm. So remember, mm-hmm. Rare did a collection of all of their games.
Yep.
And so they were looking to get the audience engaged. And I'm kind of standing there and I'm like, well, you know, I'm here to kind of do what you guys asked me to. So I can offer you a suggestion, but, you know, this is what you guys have kind of, you know, set your, you know, marketing to. Because they've got signage up, it's Rare, all of this. And they weren't getting the type of reception they were looking for. You know, and I know what they spend on these guest, you know, appearances. We're talking about 10K, 20K, 25K. And then to turn around and not get the type of reception they're looking for, it's kind of a little disappointing uh-huh. that first day. And I came to them and they were kind of like, do we not have the rights? Such and such. I was like, well, here's the thing. I love the Rare Collection. There's a ton of games in that I think are perfect. I think that there's a few of them that Nintendo held on to. They were like, well, we're not letting you have Donkey Kong. Now, that's off the table. Uh-huh. Yeah. But I was like, you've got a game that's about retro games at an event that's about new games. I was like, people are coming here to learn about things that they haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, one of the things that we did have nicely is that they've got this little setup. You can kind of sit, have coffee, that whole kind of thing. Like they were kind of like trying to mimic their baristas at the Courtyard Marriott. And it really looked great. Mm-hmm. But I don't think people were getting that concept. So I was like, here's the cool thing you guys have. People need a place to come sit down and hang out.
Oh,
I was
yeah,
like,
for sure.
Here's some I was like, here's some games we can put on that'll be really quick and easy for people to play. They'll be engaged by that. You know, I'll give them some play-by-play. I'll make it funny. And we went ahead and did that. And I remember they were like, hey, can we take you out to dinner a little later? And so we ended up talking about something else we were planning and something that I totally wasn't ready for. They asked me to host the Seattle Seahawks the next day.
Get
you know,
out.
And so wow. now here's the funny thing. I saw how much the Seattle Seahawks were worth, and I was like, I better not mess this up. like this has
shot,
to be a
man.
Pretty good right. This has to be a really good segment. And so not only did they use my Xbox, so they rented equipment. They rented equipment from me. They got realistically some on-site consultant, and then I went ahead and commentated and executed all of that, you know, in that one weekend. And you look at the difference between one guy makes, where it's just kind of like, hey, I know all of you guys are really kind of coming into this video game and scene, and you're looking for how you fit into this mold. Mm-hmm. And you guys got information from this group and from that group and from that group. But I don't think that any of them sat down to really say, does this work for you? You know what I mean? And because I had an intimate relationship where it was kind of like, well, I'm one-to-one with you. Mm-hmm. We don't need to have a meeting with five other guys. And we didn't talk. Here's what we can do really quickly with the equipment and experience I have available to me. And so I have had those moments where they were just like, we don't have a guy that's really passionate about video games.
That's
we don't
awesome,
have somebody.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you needed someone who was authentic and experienced. And,
yeah, really understand.
So, yeah, no, I actually got to co-host with Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas. And then the one I know everyone knows, even though I respect those guys just as much as ball players, I got to meet Richard Sherman.
Cool.
And this was right after the Crabtree screaming on the microphone afterwards. So he was pretty popular. And come to find out, he is actually pretty good at Call of Duty. Like, I thought, I was like, you know,
they,
throw these athletes up here and they know something about video games. And I'm going to get this 10-year-old to come and beat him up and it'll be funny or whatever. And what they did was they paired him up. And the kid that was like the best that I saw that weekend, he was like, well, I want to be paired up with Richard Sherman. I was like, well, this is going to be ugly because they're going to just beat everybody. Like, this not going to be a contest. We're going to have to try to make the content about laughing about how good they are. So, yeah, no, I mean, I've had some pretty good experiences with it, man.
That's, I mean, so many people are like, you know, they love video games, but they just can't figure out how to turn that into anything, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people say, I love video games, want to make video games, but that's a tough industry to be in. So I love what you've done in taking your love of video games and turning it into something that, like, a lot of people need these days,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing how you've, like, you're not just making a community because there's people who, like, follow you and, like, you know, see the stuff that you're doing all the time, wait to hear about your next event or whatever. But also, you make, like, mini communities wherever you go.
And I mean, like, to me, I feel like that's really kind of, like, where the fun is because at the core of it, man, it's just friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you find yourself in a space where you guys can share something that we all kind of relate to in some kind of way. It's the tie that binds us. It's really easy for me to go to some place and not know everybody's name. It's just like I did a Smash Brothers tournament this past weekend, and I kept calling this guy Dylan over and over again because I can't help it. If I see D-Y-L-A-N, I see Dylan. His name was Dylan. You know, but the interesting thing is, we start off with 40 people whom I know none of their names, and halfway through the second half of the break, I know everybody, and I know them by face, by name. I know who they're playing. I get to a point where I can guess who's going to win, you know, just based on what I'm watching.
I envy that ability.
I'll be in this podcast. I'll forget the name of the person.
Forget the name of the person, right? Who's it? Did we name that video file? And so, yeah, no, I mean, like, it's really easy to go and make these relationships and these friendships with people because, you know, I know what it's like to be passionate about being good at a video. I know what it's like to have an amazing time with friends and play video games. And when you kind of bring that to an event, it's really one of those rewards to walk away with, you know. First look at it like it's an occupation, but then you start to say, like, here's, like, the things that, like, no occupation can give me. These are the rewards I can't get anywhere else. So, yeah.
Very cool. Almost at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Let's
do the run the what we're quick.
Yeah.
So this is our big reoccurring segment, but it's just as creative professionals, we like to, like, talk about what inspires us, right? So what are we, like, reading, watching, playing that inspires us to make, you know, cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I would say the thing that I first started playing that, like, inspired me in a lot of different ways was Mario 3. And not for a lot of reasons. I played the heck out of that game because I really enjoyed the soundboard. Now, if I play other video games, I'm looking for really good music and sound to something I might not even like playing.
Do you go back to it?
A lot. Yeah, I do. I frequently go back. You know, it's one of the speed runs I put on for people when people watch me play games at a convention.
Uh-huh.
I frequently put on Mario 3 and show, like, here's a shortcut right here. You know, so it's not only a part of my past and inspiration, it is definitely still a part of my entertainment today.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things you just keep going back to.
I had one really popular Twitch streamer. He watched me, like, speed run, like, Mario on site, and that was pretty cool. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
I always throw that one in. I also like to say, like, inspiration, long-term inspiration, where Johnny Redcurrent and Norman Van Leer, they used to call it Bulls games. So, I practice commentary.
I used
to watch the Bulls games.
Oh, cool.
I would do play-by-play.
I was about to ask, like, how do you develop that skill? But, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I will watch the game with them. And, you know, be like, Scotty gets the ball at the horn. You know, like, my favorite Friday activity was I'm going to watch the Bulls game with a faux microphone, and I'm going to commentate the Bulls game with them. And what am I currently playing now? All right, so with the rest of the world, I've been playing Overwatch a lot. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a really great game that encourages team composition as opposed to headshots, which is can sometimes be a very singular experience.
Right.
They've got people playing first person shooters that never played first person shooters before. The game is really incredible from that viewpoint. And then the last
personality is like.
I mean,
you got the animation, the comic books of yep. all these characters. Like,
I mean, that drives half of the interest of the game. Half mm-hmm. of the interest of the game is that there's a character that appeals to people in a very personal way that no other first-person shooter really can say that. I mean, people love Halo, but it's not like people are going to convention like excessively dressing up like the Master Chief.
There's only
anymore.
One Master Chief.
There's only one.
Yeah, there's
exactly.
only one, yeah.
So you can't bring that level of personality. Whereas I've seen girls dress up as Rohan because they're like, I like the guy. You know, I kind of match up with how he kind of like moves. I like the hook, the chain,
yeah,
all of
got that.
Come get over here kind of thing going on. So yeah, they really kind of like that. So I'm playing that. And then the last thing I'm always playing is something with my brother. That is definitely our pastime. And we've probably played a lot of Killing Floor lately.
Oh, yeah, that's solid.
Killing Floor gives yep. you enemies that you hate so much that it's fun to kill them.
The guns are so great, right?
It is, yeah.
Just the animation and the sound. And then
slow motion and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Rob, anything on your side?
Let's see. I mean, I've started reading the Wheel of Time series.
Okay.
But maybe I should talk. I've been watching a lot of Norm Macdonald randomly, like on the web, to the point where I'm starting to like get his cadence. I'm just watching the videos, you know, and like.
I like it. We'll make you do this bit from now on.
Right, yeah.
Rob is Norm Macdonald at the 40-minute mark.
Yeah, as a person, I'm not sure I would like him, but just, like, I like how old-fashioned he is and how, like, dedicated to comedy he is. And, like, yeah, he just tells stupid stories and, like, jokes that are, like, 100 years old. But somehow the delivery just makes it great. I don't know.
Cool. And then I just like to give a shout out to, again, going back to Basecamp, they have a podcast called Rework, which is their kind of like rules of like how you should work. And on, I think it's the second episode.
It's the name of their book too, right?
Yeah.
Rework.
So on the second episode of their podcast this week, they had on our old friend Josh Tway.
Oh yeah.
To
yeah,
talk about how he like fights Crunch at Robomoto. Which I thought was very interesting, you know, their strategies around.
And it's a Chicago company. And that's like part of the.
It's actually two Chicago companies, so double plug there for sure.
Yes, Robomoto and yes.
So real quick to wrap this up, we'd like to give you this notebook from Unruled.
So I was going to say, I thought I saw. So is no, there we go, no lines.
No rules.
Exactly. Yeah,
no rules. They've got these nice binded pages so it lies flat. You don't
very
have
nice.
To prop it open. And then all the pages tear out if you want to give
you
it
know,
to someone.
No, yeah, because I noticed my brother has a kind of like a goal notebook. And I think this is a little bit more personal than all my digital write this down solutions. So, yeah, this is very cool. Thank you.
Yep.
And welcome.
If you like it, beunruled.com is their website. And they are.
Maybe we'll put it on this video.
Right.
We're
somewhere
like... And the books are very eco-friendly. They're 30% post-consumer waste, and they plant one tree for every three notebooks they sell.
Very nice.
Wow. There's three notebooks in this room?
Yeah.
So that's a tree.
That's a tree.
There's a tree out there somewhere. All right. So if you got any plugs, we'd love to hear it. You got any events coming up?
So I am actually going to Metacon in Minneapolis this weekend. I've got like a 50-game setup I'm doing that weekend.
Whoa! That's a bit bash.
Minneapolis.
Yeah.
That's
a whole
bash. 6 months doing that because we're amateurs. And one professional takes them a weekend.
Well, it's funny because people always hit me with, well, we got to pack. And it's like, I pack up and unpack every weekend. That's not, like loading is not like one of my weaker suits. I definitely know how to load. So, for some people that are catching me, I think I'm going to stream from there live our Smash Brothers and our Mario Kart tournaments. So if you get a chance, check me out on KFair 3 on Mixer. And then I will be back in the city next month for Game of Grace. Game of Grace is going to be coming up. That's going to be a first-year gaming convention, okay. All gaming inclusive in St. Charles, actually, St. Charles, Illinois. So a really big shout-out to Evan, who's been working tirelessly on promoting that and kind of bringing the best of all Chicago video gaming to it.
Very cool.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Oh, you got a Twitter handle or anything you want?
Yeah, no, and I mean, like, I've actually got an event I'm going to throw with Lagunitas in September, so I'm going to be definitely tweeting about my Street Fighter V and Marvel tournaments as those kind of pop up. And then for some of the people that don't play really big games, I'm definitely going to be tweeting out a contest for Cuphead at the end of September.
Yeah. Cuphead looks awesome.
Yep. So, yeah, KFair_IPG is my Twitter. Follow me there. I promise not to oversaturate your Twitter feed, but yeah, no,
just
I,
the
I
cool stuff, right?
Yeah, I generally try to pop out.
Do you
with,
tweet
like, I think this
more
is
or less than the president?
Oh, I don't ever want any of my stuff to be compared.
That's
to
that's a bad
never
comparison.
Mind. Never mind.
What is that part out?
Yeah, Kevin Fair.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, this is really cool.
As always, I'm Kyuan Hong. My game is at Contract Work Game.
And I'm Bobby Lockhart. I'm at Bobby Locks on Twitter with an X. And my game is Codemancer, codemancergame.com.
And everyone, please subscribe, follow us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at CGSPod.
Thanks again.
Thanks much.